Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Porpoise Pod. Porpoise Pod. It's a podcast with a purpose.
All dolphins.
All the time.
Touchdown!
Now, here's your hosts,
Brendan Tobin
and Alejandro Solana.
Welcome on in, everybody, to another edition of the Porpoise Pod. Brendan Tobin here with you alongside my co-host, Alejandro Solana. We are recording this on a grim Christmas night. You know, they had the Nightmare Before Christmas. This is Nightmare After Christmas, Solana. It's a new movie. It's coming out. It stars Tua Tagovailoa and Mike McDaniel. It's all of our nightmare just coming to fruition as the Dolphins lose today 26-20 to the Green Bay Packers in what could only be described as just an epic collapse where things were looking great. They were rolling. And then Raheem Mostert fumbled the ball, and all of a sudden, all hell broke loose. So, what the hell, dude?
Here's how the Dolphins' final drives ended, Tobin. Fumble, starting with Raheem Mostert. Missed field goal from Jason Bum Sanders.
Fat cat back.
Interception. And interception. Final five drives. That is a nightmare. That is the nightmare at the Rock.
It was all going so great, baby. What happened? What happened, dude? I mean, you know, Waddle, he was waddling, and Tyreek Hill was running willy-nilly with him. And then Tyreek Hill, he was running faster than everybody, and things were going so great. And then I was like, Mostert, that fumble's not great, but it's not going to unravel the day. I don't understand. It's like... it hurts so bad. And yet, you know that there's just a part of the fan base that's just sitting back and be like, I told you it was coming. The whole a clean sweep December swoon. I don't know if has that ever been done, the 4-for-4? I mean, it was it just an epic choke, an epic collapse. And here they sit, 8-7, just completely befuddled by what happened there, Solana.
In Spanish, we have a saying, se cagaron, they pooped themselves. Oof. That's what happened. They pooped themselves because they had that game. They're up 20-10 with the ball. End of the first half. Could go down, make it a 13-point game. Tua's already got like 200-plus yards of passing. Waddle already had his big reception. Tyreek's been balling. Run games look solid. Like, everything is working in your favor. And then you fumble right at the end of the half. You let them go down, but you hold them, right? Again, Packers
hold
get
them,
the ball.
Weapon.
Packers get the ball in almost plus territory again for like the eighth time, it seemed like, in that first half. But somehow the defense holds them. And then before you know it, Tua's thrown his third straight interception. And all these cheese heads from Wisconsin who are pretending like it's not cold in the blistering 40-degree Miami winter are celebrating at Hard Rock Stadium. It was a nightmare. Dude, an absolute nightmare.
We were still having fun, though, at that point. Like, they got the fumble. Okay, but Mike McDaniel and Rodgers, they're, like, jawing back and forth because of a quick timeout. And then all the jokey jokes stop. You know, Moose Johnson was wearing this terrible suit. And, you know, he looks like the Grinch. And I just don't know what happened. Like, you know, even like Rodgers throwing it to old ass Mercedes Lewis, who I can't believe is still in the league. And you're like, I don't even know if that was a catch, but who cares? It'll be fine. It'll be fine. They score a touchdown. How bad could this be? It's going to be fine. All right, 2020, cute. But these guys haven't been able to be stopped. And to see it just all go to hell, they just keep finding new ways to lose, Solana. And this is, I think, the thing that's disappointing about it is, like, we can come back here and we can say, we all see the good in this team. We all see the fun in this team. They're super explosive. They're really fun. But between San Francisco, Los Angeles, you know, holding strong last week against Buffalo, and now just this complete bottom falling out, this team just doesn't look like anywhere close to what they were on the win streak, obviously. But they also just don't even look anywhere close to being a team ready to win, which is not something I think we thought a month ago. I think we were on this show saying we think they can hang with anybody, that this season can be special. And right now, I don't even know if I have faith that they could go on the road and beat Mac Jones.
Oh my God. Yeah, I was thinking about it earlier, right? Like 5 weeks ago, had I told you after the Green Bay Packers game, forget that you'd be on a 4-game losing streak, but had I just told you, you won't feel like you can win a playoff game on the road after week 16. Yeah, you would have told me I'm on drugs. You would have said, Solana, lay off the pipe. And that's how you feel right now. Can this team go into... I mean, we have to go in and beat Mac Jones, and we're a little shaky about it. Can this team go on the road if they make the playoffs, which I think we both think they will? Can they go on the road and beat Kansas City on the road? Can they beat Buffalo on the road? Can they beat a Cincinnati and your boy Joe Burrow on the road?
I don't know, dude. Like, the thing is, man, their propensity for mistakes are just, it's just so bad now between the penalties, another illegal shift at a critical time, which led to the second interception that happened, where, you know, you have miscommunication. Clearly Mostert and Tua weren't on the same page. You know, and then Tua's last interception, I don't know what the hell that was. That was just completely awful. And, you know, we've done so much talk of him and the rebuilding of this guy's confidence and the 700 plays in the relationship. And it's all been a very beautiful story. And I've scooped it up, you know, like Baskin Robbins, just delicious ice cream. But if we're talking about a guy who has admittedly had confidence issues, has looked himself in the mirror and told people, do I suck? How do we have the confidence that this guy can recover from a performance like this? I'm serious, dude. Like, he goes out there and goes 3 for 3, 3 drives, 3 interceptions, three opportunities to win this game. And he gives the football to the other team. How are we sure that this isn't going to in some way really, really affect him in a negative way, and that there's going to be no turning back? Because what happened today was, for everybody who has been waiting to pounce on Tua, Chris Sims, Colin Cowherd, Jet Up, the whole cast of them, everybody, Mina Kimes, this had to be like porn for them watching what happened to Tua today. It was unbelievable.
This was the pile of cocaine on Tony Montana's desk at the very end of Scarface. Like, for them, the Tua slander that they've been waiting for, they just snorted the longest line in the history of ESPN for Tua slander, because this was it right here. Biggest criticisms, his durability and winning late in the season. And this dude just had the worst 3 series in a winnable game against a bad, mediocre defense. And he threw 3 of the worst passes you'll see a quarterback throw in the NFL. I'm not joking. 3 of the worst passes you will see a quarterback throw in the NFL this season.
Oh, dude. It's funny, because even the drive where they had the missed field goal, he nearly like shoveled this ball right to them. Like, I don't know who that guy was. We watched what was going on in this first half. We're like, man, they are hopping. They are snapping. Jalen Waddle can't be stopped. He put up a giant game today. Tyreek's getting going. I think this is the thing that's tough is, like, you mentioned the late game seasons. Like, all right, the Bills game, first season, you were never in that game, murdered.
Yeah, and he wasn't even really supposed to start, right? It was Ryan Fitzpatrick who ends up getting COVID, so or COVID-like symptoms or whatever, so he has to miss the game. So in comes in Tua, who Flo never had confidence in a game that you were probably never going to win anyways. Fine.
Last year, Tennessee, chucking the ball up and fumbling the ball up all over the place. All right, never really had a prayer in that one either. This is like... this is like driving the Titanic into an iceberg. This should have been, this was gifted to, here you go. Because Kader Kohu gets this pick off. Maybe he cheated. But he gets this pick off. And you're like, all right, all the nonsense is over. Go ahead, Tua. Take us home, baby. And the next pass is given to the other team. It was so flabbergasting, dude, that is the response that your team had to that. Like, you needed a big play. You needed the defense to come through with it. He does, and he throws what was his worst interception of the season until the next one, which was then was followed by the next one.
I mean, Mostert's not even looking at him. Like, what?
No.
And he eyed him down the entire way. That was the easiest interception. Those three interceptions were the easiest interceptions those players will ever catch in their entire lives, careers.
Throws a very catchable ball. The most accurate catchable ball.
He lobs one up there to Sean Alexander, who after the game was making a joke. It was like, he's getting interviewed. He's like, yeah, it was like a Christmas present. I mean, I'm looking at this thing like, is it seriously just going to land in my basket here? Like, and he didn't have to move. There's five guys on the side of the field of Tyreek Hill. There's four guys rushing the quarterback, Tobin. So what does that mean? The other side of the field only has two defenders. Like, it's simple math. Look the other way. Like, is he looking for the big play now on every single throw? Really, is that what it is? And I'm not trying to oversimplify it, right? Like, I'm sure we'll see the All-22 and people much smarter at breaking that down. We'll have an explanation, but are we at the point now where Tua is always looking to make the home run play and he's now incapable of just making the smart play? Because remember, we've talked about one of his biggest issues, Tobin, is just conceding on a play. And there was a play in the first half where Dolphins are, I don't know if they're in the red zone, but they're near the red zone. And he's about to get sacked and he tries to get out of it, but the defensive lineman has him wrapped up, and then it ends up being like a strip sack. And I think like Robert Hunt came back on the ball and landed on it. Tua had all the time in the world, waited, didn't throw it away, allows himself to get sacked. And rather than just going down, is now trying to extend a play that he has no shot of extending. Like, even if he gets out of the defensive lineman's grasp, it's been too long. There's going to be three or four other guys right in your face, man. You're going to get rocked. And then on top of it, once he knows he's wrapped up, he's not going down, he allows himself to get strip sacked. Like, he is constantly trying to make too much out of something that's not there. And I think that's what's happening in these interceptions, where maybe not the Mostert one, because that just looked like there was some sort of miscommunication between him, Mostert, and the whole timing was off on the play. But they're running these Dolphins players, it seemed like in the second half, every snap that's getting off is with a second left on the play clock. Like, why? Why are there players being subbed in with 7 seconds left on the play clock? You have illegal procedure penalties again that knock off a chunk play for Waddle.
That was killer.
And then you're constantly looking for the home run. I just don't understand what we're watching in those situations, because that's what it seems like to me. He's just looking 30 yards down the field every play.
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, that's definitely been an adjustment, because he had this safety net of living in this. He has the safety net of living in a danger zone. Like, he lives dangerously always because he loves to throw over the middle, and he does have a propensity to throw into areas, tight windows. And I do think that's part of what makes him special. Like, there's a lot of quarterbacks who won't live in those those areas. And so, like the first Tyreek Hill interception, like if you misfire a little, if you're not, you know, the most accurate quarterback in the league or one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the league, you'll get killed. You'll get burned. But I think it's also where what makes him special when he's on is that, oh, wow, he'll live in these areas that a lot of quarterbacks won't go. They won't have the balls to make those throws. But I do think, you know, we've mentioned this a couple times this season. Like, I do think there's something addicting to the big playability of having those guys. Not saying it's a bad thing. I just think that you always feel, and they've even proven this in some games this year, like you're always in it and that you'll always be able to get that. And I think that's the thing that's going to be interesting going into this next game, these next couple of games, because even with the first two interceptions, I was like, okay, you're down six. Go do you, dude. Go get the big home run. And for that to also end in an interception is just it's just really, really, really crushing. We'll take a break. We'll go on to the other side of it. We'll get into where we stand with this coach, because Mike McDaniel got a lot of flowers early on in the year, but he said he wanted to take an approach about how his team was going to go into December, focusing on the importance of this game. Did he make a big mistake? That's when the Porpoise Pod swims on after this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Porpoise Pod swimming on here. Dolphins lose to the Green Bay Packers 26-20, their fourth straight loss, winless in December, 8-7. They still need to win. If they win their last two games, they're in. I think if they win, the Jets lose, yeah, they're in also.
They beat the Patriots and New York loses. I don't know who they play off the top of my head. They're in. So, I mean, there's still a ton of scenarios here. As bad as it's been worse for the Jets and the Patriots as well. So the Jets play the Seahawks on the road next week. So you do like that if you're Miami.
You definitely like it, but we talked about this a little bit on the top of the pod. Your feeling of this team, like if they just get in, is not the same that it was even a week ago. I think even after Buffalo, we were thinking to ourselves, you know what? All right, most people were giving a lot of pundits were saying, well, it's Dolphins team, they can hang.
Yeah.
To lose the way they did today it's a confidence shaker, man. It definitely is. It's tough for it not to be. But I think that the interesting thing about this is, you know, Mike McDaniel went into this month discussing how he wanted to put this emphasis on the importance of December football, almost creating playoff-like atmospheres for his team. And I would say in three out of these four games, they haven't looked up to the task at all. And then even in the game with the Bills, you know, in the biggest moments, they didn't come through and they really, really needed to. So do you think Mike McDaniel erred in that regard of just, you know, trying to put extra emphasis on this month, these games, as opposed to, hey, let's just keep it rolling. We have a good thing going on, because this team really feels like they've shriveled up.
Yeah, but do you think him putting extra emphasis on December football is changing his philosophy or his approach to each individual game, right? Looking at them Sunday to Sunday or whatever, Sunday to Saturday. Because I don't. Like, I think it's him telling his players, hey, we're approaching everything the same way. We're preparing each week the same way. And we're taking it game by game. All the coach cliches, all the coach speak. But I actually do believe that that's how they approach these games. Are the Dolphins obviously understanding the implications of the following three games going into today? Certainly. They know that if they win today, you know, the road to the playoffs is much easier. But are they preparing for New York this week before they go play New England? No. So I don't know. Like, I don't view it his comments, because I know what comments you're alluding to. Before that San Francisco game, I know I made a montage for the radio broadcast. He went on a 10-minute tangent almost about December and January football. This is what separates the men from the boys. Like, he did all that, right? Where mm-hmm. he talked about this being the important stretch and he wants his players to understand it. But I think that's true, right? And this was a team that was playing, not only coming off a 5-game win streak, but playing arguably at the highest level in the NFL at that point. And we can have the conversation that everybody wants to do now, right? Revisionist history. Well, the competition, and you beat the Bears and the Lions, and you know, you beat bad teams, the Texans, and we can do that fine. But bottom line, through those 5 games outside of Pittsburgh and the second half of the Houston game after Tua got hurt and he came out, like, this was arguably the strongest team in the NFL, especially offensively. So, I mean, that happened. And then you're sitting in that spot where you're going on this big road trip. I don't mind him putting extra emphasis on these games, because bottom line, they matter. And you could have been sitting in a position here, let's say you split these last four, where you're still fighting for the division. So I don't know, Tobin, like, I don't view it as a negative, his comments, because I don't think it changed the philosophy of the team taking each game individually as they come.
I get you, but he's also the same guy that told the media that he did think that his team was pressing and that certain individuals were pressing. And he's also, you know, like, we've had a very open that, and it's pretty hard not to think that one of those guys is his quarterback. And we think about all of the things that he's done to mentally strengthen Tua, and some of the things that he's done, you know, did putting all of that, you know, those eggs in the pressure basket. I mean, people may say, boo hoo, you're a pro quarterback. If you're one of the elites, you're supposed to be able to deal with pressure. But I'm just wondering, for a guy who feels like, in Mike McDaniel, he's had such a great pulse of what triggers to pull with his players, what maneuvers, what, you know, he'll specify what type of film he's going to have on certain players, how he'll have them watch him, how he'll teach them. Did we get to a, you know, did he go about this, you know, the wrong way? And I think for him, like, listen, there's been, you know, between challenges that he didn't do, between play calling on third down, I don't think that he's handled this run the best either. And look, he's a rookie. I mean, right. that's what I think what we're learning with him. I do think the guy is super smart. I think he's got a very bright future, but you know, this whole 4-game stretch. Yeah. It's like, it's tough. It's tough for your narrative not to flip. Like, if anybody's expecting that you get to just live off of, hey, don't you remember that 5-game win streak? It's like, yeah, but also they had this just epic losing streak, which could still be going on. And we've spent this entire season talking about, this year feels different. This year, there's something about this year. And yeah, we still got that today. We got the high of big explosive plays. This is not the Tony Sperano, Adam Gase Dolphins with boring football. But the wins and the losses, like, the results are the results. Like, they're still in the midst of a collapse. They're still in this spot going with 2 games with their playoff lives on the line. And, you know, though it may have been done in a more entertaining fashion, they're still in the same destination right now.
To me, what bothers me the most about McDaniel, we can go through each individual situation, whether he shouldn't have thrown a challenge flag you know, certain timeouts that he did or did not call. But to me, and Tobin, you know, I've been very, very frustrated with this all season long. It's the boneheaded penalties, procedure penalties.
Yeah.
Ineligible man downfield penalties, which I know has kind of rocked the whole NFL with the new rules. But, bro, it's week 16. Figure it out. Figure it out at this point. But procedure penalties still, like, I understand this is a, you know, highly convoluted offense that he's put together. I get it. But you can't put your team in jeopardy because Jalen Waddle and Cedric Wilson are lined up in the same set on a formation that you've been practicing all week. Like, that can't happen. And you saw the repercussions of it. It cost you maybe a touchdown, maybe the game. You know, I know that the three interceptions come later, but it may be that play maybe cost you the game. So to me, Tobin, those are the things that really bother me. Coaches are going to, you know, earn their stripes. They're going to make mistakes, whether they should have thrown a challenge flag. Maybe he calls a timeout that he shouldn't have called. Maybe he should have waited to call a timeout. Like, those things are going to happen. They'll learn from that. But there's no learning from procedure penalties. You know, these offensive holding calls, three on one drive. Like, that's just signs, I'm sorry, of an undisciplined football team. And I love Mike McDaniel. I love his philosophy. You don't have to be rah-rah, in-your-face head coach, bitching out your players anytime they make a mistake. I'm not that guy who I want to see that so he can prove to me that he's earned his respect or the respect of the team. But on that same token, you also can't have three offensive holding calls, obvious ones at that, on one drive that end up ultimately costing you points, and then you lose a game that you desperately needed to win. And to your last couple statements there about the Dolphins, yes, proving to us that they're not the Sperano or the Gase offenses who are going to come out in a pivotal game and score 3 points. Bottom line, like you said, the results are the results. And this is the game that the Miami Dolphins have lost for 2 decades of my entire life.
Yep. No.
And today should have been when they went out and proved to us that they're not the same old Dolphins. Because people have been saying that, oh, same old Dolphins, they'll lose in week 16.
Right.
And, you know, they'll get bounced in the first round of the playoffs. This was the game to finally put that narrative to rest for all of us who have PTSD. And here we go. How can you not say same old Dolphins?
And I feel bad because I don't think this was going to be the same. I didn't think that. I feel foolish because I do know there are the pessimistic Dolphins who are in my mentions who be like, you see, I told you. And I guess you can live life like that. I guess you could sit here and be like, see, I told you it was going to happen. Dolphins in December. I don't like living life like that. I don't like watching my sports like that. Maybe they're a lot in a lot less pain today. Maybe that's good, I guess. I think the thing that's frustrating about it is for it to just happen like this, you know, for it to get off to the start that it did today and for it to just the wheels to come off like that, that to me is what is faith shattering. That to me is what is scary because I never thought watching the first three drives of this game, four drives of this game, it would end like this. You know, maybe, okay, Rodgers, you give a nod to a legend. The guy's great. Of course he's going to fight. He thinks he knows he came in confident to this week, to his credit, but he couldn't have even thought like, oh, look at all these gifts we're getting. You know, like, that's really what they got. And the Dolphins were just basically, they were, and by the way, even with that, the Packers are like, they weren't going to kill the Dolphins, even with all these gifts. They're like, you know, we're going to sell for three here. You still can win with a touchdown. Go ahead. And just yak it up like that. It's just, it's so demoralizing.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This Matt LaFleur, by the way. Matt LaFleur. Ugh. Has a chance to ice the game. Fourth and one down there. And he has Rodgers go up to the line right before the 2-minute warning.
I saw
that. He didn't have the sackos to hike it. He didn't have them.
No balls.
No stones. We got the wheelbarrow play, by the way. We got it in the first drive coming after the Packers had tied it up. The Dolphins got the wheelbarrow play, third and short, don't convert, and he hands it right off. I think it was to Raheem Mostert for that fourth and one on their own 30. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, we're back, baby. We're back in business. And then, you know.
Hell.
Miss field goal.
Jason Sanders is back. Never like it when, by the way, the announcer says, he's hit 10 straight. Nah,
that's 11 of 11 from the 40s.
Kiss of death. kiss of death. I don't even know who the play-by-play guy was, but kiss of death from him. I know he was doing it with Moose Johnston, but and you lose on and to lose on Zonk's birthday. How dare you?
Oh, no way. Was Zonk tweeting on his birthday?
Nah, I didn't get any notifications. I think good. Hopefully he didn't even know what happened on his birthday. Old Christmas baby Zonk. Why ruin it? You know, let's see.
Joe Davis, by the way, was a play-by-play announcer. Joe Davis.
Nah, good for Zonk. He took the day off from Twitter.
Good for him.
Yeah. Who needs it, Zonk?
Can't tweet on Christmas if you're Larry Zonka.
Oh, dude, that's the thing that – see, well, this is the thing that hurt today, right? Because I got family over. And, like, you know this because, you work in – but they don't – family doesn't get what you do, and they also don't get – like, nobody – you run into a lot of people in family. They don't care like you care. And so, like, you have not strangers. You have people who know you, but they're, like, they don't watch a game like you do. And just, like, the person I'm watching the game with, and he goes, it was the second Tua pick. He goes, well, that's over. I was like, I'm like, well, first of all, maybe. But second of all, don't say that. They can still win. And then, like, Tua throws another pick. And he goes, well, now it's over. I'm like, thank you. Thanks.
Thanks, guy.
I appreciate you. Thank you. I'm so glad that happened. Appreciate you pointing that out. And you know what? It's actually probably good you're here because I would have broken stuff. If not to embarrass my spouse, I would things could have been bad losing a game like this. So it probably was good that I had the buffer of a holiday here because I can't embarrass everybody. But I really wanted to cry. Like, I wanted to go in the fetal position. It was that bad of a loss.
You're throwing your Christmas tree outside. Christmas is over. Get out of here.
Christmas is canceled. Take back my son's presents.
What about X-Men dropping that pick, Toby?
I know.
What the hell? Like, what the hell's going on?
That was that would have been a really good play by him, though, in fairness.
Yeah, but it was in his hands. Like, he makes that play last year and the year before.
Yeah, I do.
he's a Pro Bowler starter. He's starting in the Pro Bowl.
I know. And Wilkins was like all over the place again today. What do you have? Two batted balls.
So good. And he
deserves
it too.
He deserves not only to be a pro, he deserves to be an all pro. He's so good. The
index and middle finger wag to Aaron, and then he's dancing the whole time. I love him so much. I love Christian Wilkins.
All right. Well,
this sucks.
Sucks, Porpoise Pod Patrol. Sorry. You know, and if you were looking for some rosy sunshine, not today. That's not for today. That's for the next Porpoise Pod.
Yes, sir.
Where they kick McCorkle's ass.
Yeah.
But for now.
Beat Bill.
Can I just say one thing with Tua? Dude, don't tell me to go enjoy Christmas.
Oh, what okay, is
dude?
He doing?
Dude. What He's is like, he doing? Let's just hope we can all go enjoy Christmas with our families. No, Tua, we can't because you decided you were going to be like Kris Kringle handing the football over to the Packers.
Toby,
so I can't.
OJ McDuffie was 2 hours on the Dolphins postgame show ripping this guy, ripping him. Like, I've never heard OJ McDuffie, former Dolphin, employed by the team, ripping him. Just, you're telling me to enjoy Christmas? You're telling me to enjoy, go enjoy Christmas with my family? Tua,
I know he loves Christmas. We know you love Christmas.
We got it, Tua. We got it. Maybe don't throw three interceptions, bro.
Obviously, we're going to learn from these mistakes, but this isn't something after a loss that we should be going home taking to our families, our kids, and our other halves. We leave it here, and we go enjoy Christmas. No! No, I want you soaking in eggnog watching film. You don't get to enjoy Christmas. No, dude! It's tough to get mad at his face.
I love him.
I love him too. I want to be so good. I want to be good.
This is the conversation every sane Dolphins fan is having right now. I love Tua. I want it to work out so bad. I love him.
I can't trust him.
Can't do it.
Can't do it. I want to. I want to love you so much, dude. But you know, why do you make it hurt so epically?
At least we got our Gesicki completion today. Way to go, Mike.
Oh, my God. Merry Christmas. I mean, have you ever seen a guy happier to get a catch?
Merry Christmas, Mike.
All right. We'll talk to you guys later.